non-stop foot fetish videos broadcast out of Eastern Europe, amateur porn featuring deviant soccer moms in Minnesota. You name it, every flavor of weirdness the human psyche could cook up was being filmed and broadcast online. The vast wasteland of television programming had finally reached its zenith, and the average person was no longer limited to 15 minutes of fame. Now everyone could be on TV, every second of every day, whether or not anyone was watching. Parzival TV wasn't a voyeur channel. In fact, I never showed my avatar's face on my vid feed. Instead, I programmed a selection of classic 80s TV shows, retro commercials, cartoons, music videos, and movies. Lots of movies. On the weekends, I showed old Japanese monster flicks, along with some vintage anime. Whatever struck my fancy. It didn't really matter what I programmed. My avatar was still one of the high five, so my vid feed drew millions of viewers every day, regardless of what I aired, and this allowed me to sell commercial time to my various sponsors. Most of Parzival TV's regular viewers were Gunters, who monitored my vid feed with the hope that I'd inadvertently reveal some key piece of information about the jade key or the egg itself. I never did, of course. At the moment, Parzival TV was wrapping up a non-stop two-day Kikader marathon. Kikader was a late 70s Japanese action show about a red and blue android who beat the crap out of rubber-suited monsters in each episode. I had a weakness for vintage kaiju and tokusatsu, shows like Spectre Man, The Space Giants, and Supaidaman. I pulled up my programming grid and made a few changes to my evening lineup. I cleared away the episodes of Riptide and Misfits of Science I'd programmed and dropped in a few back-to-back flicks starring Gamera, my favorite giant flying turtle. I thought they should be real crowd-pleasers. Then, to finish off the broadcast day, I added a few episodes of Silver Spoons. Artemis also ran her own vidfeed channel, Artemivision, and I always kept one of my monitors tuned to it. Right now, she was airing her usual Monday evening fare, an episode of Square Pegs. After that would be Electra Woman and Dyna Girl, followed by back-to-back episodes of Isis and Wonder Woman. Her programming lineup hadn't changed in ages, but it didn't matter. She still got killer ratings. Recently, she'd also launched her own wildly successful clothing line for full-figured female avatars under the label Artemis, M-I-S-S. She was doing really well for herself. After that night in the distracted globe, Artemis had cut off all contact with me. She blocked all of my emails, phone calls, and chat requests. She also stopped making posts to her blog. I tried everything I could think of to reach her. I sent her avatar flowers. I made multiple trips to her avatar's stronghold, an armored palace on Benatar, the small moon she owned. I dropped mixtapes and notes on her palace from the air, like lovesick bombs. Once, in a supreme act of desperation, I stood outside her palace gates for 2 solid hours with a boombox over my head, blasting In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel at full volume. She didn't come out. I don't even know if she was home. I'd been living in Columbus for over 5 months now, and it had been 8 long, torturous weeks since I'd last spoken to Artemis. But I hadn't spent that time moping around and feeling sorry for myself. Well, not all of it, anyway. I'd tried to enjoy my new life as a world-famous sector-hopping Gunter. Even though I'd maxed out my avatar's power level, I continued to complete as many quests as possible to add to my already impressive collection of weapons, magic items, and vehicles, which I kept in a vault deep within my stronghold. Questing kept me busy and served as a welcome distraction from the growing loneliness and isolation I felt. I'd tried to reconnect with H after Artemis had dumped me, but things weren't the same. We'd grown apart, and I knew it was my fault. Our conversations were now stilted and reserved, as if we were both afraid of revealing some key piece of information the other might be able to use. I could tell he no longer trusted me, and while I'd been off obsessing over Artemis, it seemed H had become obsessed with being the first Gunter to find the Jade Key. But it had been almost half a year since we'd cleared the first gate, and the Jade Key's location still remained a mystery. I hadn't spoken to H in almost a month. My last conversation with him had devolved into a shouting match, which had ended when I reminded H that he, quote, never even would have found the copper key, unquote, if I hadn't led him straight to it.